Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Scott Saunders, coming to you from Wembley Stadium just after Manchester United have lost the Community Shield to Manchester City on penalties. And I just wanted to offer some thoughts. I said I would in the last episode if I could, and this is me attempting to bring you some almost immediate reaction, because I think today is obviously United's first game. Last game of preseason, first game that everybody really watches, you know, it's the traditional curtain raiser for the season. United are in it. And obviously you do want to win every game that you possibly can, but it wasn't to be for United today. But I really did think there were some bright sparks in this and lots of promise offered up through a few different players. So I just wanted to come on and touch on what I thought about the game today, offer a little bit of immediate reaction. And because today's been a big day off the pitch as well, with some suggestions that transfers could be essentially pretty close, two incomings and an outgoing as well. And I'll touch on these in the next episode in a little bit more detail, but I did just want to, run through some thoughts on that, because it's pretty significant. United seem to have made breakthroughs on a number of deals today, and that chain of transfers that need to happen seems to have been triggered. So Matthias De Ligt might be on his way in, Nusayir Mazraoui might be on his way in, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka will be on his way out. But I'll touch on that in a little bit. But please subscribe to the channel if you have not subscribed already. Audio and YouTube. We do Spotify, Apple, YouTube, etc., etc. So if you're new to the podcast, please subscribe. And I'll be dropping as much as I can, as regularly as I can, with a backdrop of Wembley behind me. Won't always be the case, but I just thought it was a nice thing to do today. And thanks for the support again. As I said, this is my second podcast in about 24, 36 hours. So I'll try my best just to rattle through. It's not going to be too long, but just wanted to offer some thoughts. Now, the first 30 minutes today was not good. United were very much hemmed into their own half, their own penalty box, to be honest, because they did not use the ball very well. Man City's press was excellent. They were really good. Showed a lot of energy early on. And City create. I think they hit the post after a mistake from Lucho Martinez, who was playing at left back. That one went. There was a few hairy moments for him, but I don't know whether we will see that too regularly in the future. But obviously, they hit the post early on. But after that first half an hour, I think United really settled into the game and they started showing some of the good parts of their game and what they've been offering in pre-season. There was a game against Liverpool a few weeks ago, or a few days ago now, that they lost 3-0, but they did create a lot of chances. And we did see that United were, let's say, profligate. Again, they missed a lot of chances in that game and lost 3-0. They missed a lot of chances here. Marcus Rashford in particular might take some of the blame for some of those, because he could have had two goals, let's be honest today. And United could have won this game comfortably if they'd have taken their chances, but wasn't to be. Although the fact that they are creating those chances anyway is encouraging. Some of the interchanges, some of the link-up play between the attackers is really, really promising. There seems to be, with the emergence of Ahmad and Garnacho as well, lots of options to be able to use. I think a lot of people think this might be the season for Ahmad to really break through. We saw him score that amazing extra time, injury time goal to win that FA Cup tie against Liverpool last season. He scored a cracking goal against Newcastle towards the end of last season as well. And he should have scored today as well. He played a lovely little 1-2 with Casemiro, was played through and tried to square the ball to Mason Mount, who was caught on his heels. I suppose you need a striker in that situation who's going to be able to tap it in. But I think Ahmad himself would probably be disappointed that he did not shoot in that instance, because if he did, he'd have probably scored. But there's just a lot of promise coming through from him. I think when I've written a piece which should go out on 90 Min, if it hasn't already, which talks about all the problem positions that United have had and still have. And left back appears to be one of those problem positions. Mazraoui can cover that. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Centre back seems to be an issue as well. Johnny Evans, 37 in a few months, bless him. Missing the penalty, bless him, at the end as well. But, you know, we don't want to see Johnny Evans playing every week moving forward, because that's just, look, he is 37. We don't want to see that happening. He was very much brought in last season as a depth option, a backup option, and he ended up playing a lot of football because of injuries. But that's another problem position. Hopefully, De Ligt will solve that with Lenny Yoro's injury. But the right side has been a problem for a long, long time. And United have obviously spent a lot of money on Antony. That's not come off. He didn't even go on the pitch today. But you can even date back to when United sold Cristiano Ronaldo in 2009 to Real Madrid for 80 million quid. In the same summer, they replaced him with Antonio Valencia for, I think, around 16 million. So United made a hell of a lot of money then, and they replaced him with a player that, like, I'm not criticizing Valencia, but he's not a Ronaldo's level, is he? It was very much a downgrade, and he ended up playing right back for most of his career towards the end as well. So that position, I don't think anybody's ever really nailed it down ever since, to be honest. And maybe I'm wrong, but I can't really think of anyone that I think of as that right wing position is their spot, and nobody's taken it off them. So it's very much up for grabs. Antony was meant to be that person who came in and offered the balance, but it's not going well for him. He has promised goals and assists this week, but you know, we'll wait and see. He's going to need to earn his chance and get back in and take his chance when he gets it, because he is firmly down the pecking order. I think Ahmad has played himself really well over preseason into contention to be first choice on that side. And, you know, it's been a long time coming. He's very much a fan favorite, I think. And look, he just offered so many decent touches. He's so enjoyable to watch. His technical ability is brilliant. His ability to work through small spaces is fantastic. And, you know, he's got a goal threat as well. I think he'd be disappointed that he didn't score today and didn't take that chance. But look, every time he gets the ball in the attacking third, you feel like he's going to do something, and that's exciting. And although it wasn't to be for him today, I think there's enough that he offers to suggest that he will start delivering on a more regular basis this season, and he will get more chances to play this season. But what happened was he didn't necessarily make the breakthrough, but was brought off on around 55 minutes. And I think that was maybe to some fans bemusement. Maybe they're not sure why he was taken off when he was playing so well, but I think it's to manage players' minutes and to make sure that they're ready for the season, because this is after all, a friendly. And what you got was Alejandro Garnacho coming in and actually making the impact that people were hoping for. He came off the bench, offers that threat from that right-hand side where he can get down the line, but because he's two-footed and because he's unpredictable and dogged and never, ever gives up, he is another great option. So United now have Antony in third place. Even Jadon Sancho is part of this mix as well, but Antony's firmly third in the pecking order, and you've got Ahmad and Alejandro Garnacho, who are two players who are young, looking to prove themselves, and really, really, really exciting. And that might be a position that United have been trying to fill it with transfers for years, but this never really worked out. And now there's no need, hopefully, anyway. But look, I think there's a lot of promise. Kobbie Mainoo's back. Lichan Martinez is back. Hopefully we'll see him at centre-back soon, because of obviously the injuries at left-back or the absences at left-back. Luke Shaw missed out. Harry Amass was omitted from the squad completely. And Terrell Malacia as well. Obviously, we know that he has got long-standing injury issues. So Martinez had to cover in there today, but I think you'll see him at left centre-back against Fulham. He didn't do great at left-back, let's be honest. He gave the ball away and City hit the post from it. Oscar Bob skinned him, I think, on occasion. I think it was for City's equalising goal in the 90th minute as well. But, you know, he hasn't played football since the Copa America final. So he's got to warm into it. We know what he can offer. And now he might have a centre-back partner next to him who is more confident.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Than to play the way that Erik ten Hag wants to play than Harry Maguire is. There were some hesitant moments from Maguire today. I'm not going to put him down or whatever, but there was a moment from a goal kick where I think Onana was asking him to pass in the ball across goal. And he was really hesitant. It seemed like he wanted to go long, but he didn't. Crowd agitated a little bit, but what United have done today is managed to make a breakthrough in their pursuit of Matthijs de Ligt. Now, this is a player that United have wanted for a long time, way before Erik ten Hag got into this job. And it seems like they've been pushing for him, although ten Hag seemed to suggest recently, somebody seemed to suggest recently that this was a player that was brought to him by the new transfer team rather than him driving this deal, even though he used to manage him and captain his Ajax team. So, look, I think this one is a transfer that is going to go through in the next few days. I think the price is good. And look, United need depth at centre-back. They really do. Because we've seen Maguire, Lindelof at United for Maguire, in his case, 2019, Lindelof, 2017. Neither of them have ever really solidified their place in that team. Maguire's had his moments, obviously, but it doesn't seem to be the right fit as a starter regularly in that Erik ten Hag first team. And what you're getting now, once De Ligt is confirmed, is two centre-backs who've played under Erik ten Hag for a long time and probably know how to play the football that he wants to play and are good on the ball, able to distribute. And that should help United in their progression. I'm really excited to see that one go through, and hopefully we can get that one in place for well ahead of time for the first game against Fulham. And I tweeted this earlier today, actually. I was trying to remember when it was. But that's the good thing about this deal. I know that Erik ten Hag has signed a lot of players that he used to manage at United. And the thing has always been, well, he knows how to play Erik ten Hag-style football. And yeah, that's the case. It hasn't worked out in Antony's case. But with De Ligt, I think centre-half and centre-midfield, the core of the team is so important to fix. It really is so important to fix. And United last season barely had their first-choice centre-back pairing. What United are getting here is two centre-halves, in Lucho Martinez's case and Matthijs de Ligt's case, who know exactly what Erik ten Hag wants to do, know how he wants to play football, and are able to execute the style of football that he wants to play. So hopefully, injury and fitness permitting, De Ligt can come in and essentially hit the ground running. Hopefully he can be ready for the Fulham game. We'll see. But I wouldn't really have any worries about throwing him in straight away, so long as his fitness is there. Because, look, all of the patterns of play that he's going to want to, or Erik ten Hag is going to want from him, he's going to know already. Maybe there's some slight differences, but the fundamentals of what ten Hag is going to want are essentially the same. And it's really encouraging to see, especially after Lenny Yoro's injury. Now, we did not see that one coming. We didn't want it to happen, obviously. But I think even with Yoro in there, and he is 18, you can't rely on an 18-year-old to start every single game, no matter how much he costs, into the new season. So I think United needed that deal to go through. And there's even a suggestion to think maybe that Jarrod Branthwaite might be still a target some point down the line as well, but that's a different conversation completely. The other thing that's happened today, or will happen, or seems to be on the verge of happening, is Aaron Wan-Bissaka leaving for West Ham. That deal's been rumoured for a while. United seem to have got a fee that they can agree to. Wan-Bissaka will head off, do his medical with West Ham, and should be presented as a West Ham player next week. They've also signed Jean-Claire Todibo today, who was a Man United target for a few months anyway, when Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos came in. Obviously, that move was barred and United are unable to do it, but West Ham have got a really good player in there, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka will be playing with him after all, by the looks. So United have signed that deal off, or are close to it. And Nusaya Mazraoui is the direct replacement. Good value deal. And I think the good thing about this is you have your concerns about left back and Luke Shaw's fitness, and Malacia's missed a year plus, and it's not a good situation. You saw Martinez had to fill in today. Harry Amass was omitted from the squad. Ten Hag touched on it in his post-match, but has suggested recently that he needs a few months to get ready. So maybe he was just a little bit skeptical about putting him in, and maybe that's why he watched the match from the stands today. But with Mazraoui, it looks like he will be Wan-Bissaka's replacement. And this is another player, again, that knows how to play Ten Hag football, but he can offer, whether that's from right back or left back, he can offer a lot of qualities which are applicable to the way that Erik ten Hag wants to play. So there's a big debate going on around whether United should even consider selling Wan-Bissaka, because obviously we know the qualities that he has. He's a different type of fullback to Diogo Dalot or to anybody else, because his 1v1 quality is just fantastic. But it's been obvious for a few years now, probably ever since he joined, that he would not offer going forwards what managers would want. And unfortunately, it's a bad thing, because I think Wan-Bissaka will go to West Ham. He'll probably look a really good player. I'm sure there will be a point next season or in the seasons to come where Man United play West Ham, Marcus Rashford faces up against him, or somebody faces up against him, Garnacho maybe, and he absolutely locks him down. I'm sure that day will come, and I'm sure that the inevitable social media reaction will be, well, why'd they sell this guy? But the reason why United are doing this deal is so they can continue the progression in tactics, and so they can just move forward. Like, unfortunately, and this is where I stand on it, I completely get the qualities that Wan-Bissaka has got and champion them, but we know the deficiencies he's got, and he's not shown signs over the past 2 years plus of being able to rectify them and become the fullback that Erik ten Hag wants, and that's why he's leaving. And obviously Mazraoui offers the flexibility on either side, has played at big clubs before, has obviously played for Erik ten Hag and has played for Bayern on both sides, so he's more than capable of filling in at left back as well. So I think what you're getting is, after a big wait, deals starting to be pushed through. I'll talk about the values, and I'll talk about, you know, more around these deals on a later show early next week, probably. But I just wanted to drop some thoughts on this, just because it's pretty raw today and quite encouraging. Look, I've come out of today. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. But I've come out of today thinking, you know, it's been a good day. To be honest, it's been a decent day. There are things that, you know, we all know United need to work on. There are still concerns, but they are moving towards addressing those concerns, and there are still some shoots of promise coming through in the performance. Now, this was a Man City team that is very, very much under strength, and they weren't perfect. They were, if anything, much the worst team today. United were much better, but what they do need to do, and what Ruud van Nistelrooy needs to do, is impart some of that attacking wisdom and finishing coldness that he had in his head and his feet. He needs to impart some of that wisdom on the attackers, because too many chances are going begging, and they need to fix that, because obviously United could have been out of sight today with the chances that they had. But look, there's plenty of positives for me moving forward going into the season. I will drop back in with another podcast in a few days' time. Thank you so much for your support, everyone. I really, really appreciate all the messages that you've sent over the past few days. But let me know what you think of this game. What were your thoughts on this game? Were United good? Did it give you reason for optimism? And how are you feeling about the season ahead? And tell me about the transfer dealings as well. There are still positions which need to be addressed. Midfield is a massive one for me. But we'll see what United can do in the remaining days of the window. But until next time, everyone, thanks for listening. It's been a quick one, 19 minutes, pushing 20 by the time I finish this. And, you know, short and snappy, but I felt like it was the right thing to come to you with some thoughts, given United's season is coming up thick and very, very soon. And obviously some transfers on the way as well. So thank you very much, everyone, for watching or for listening on Apple and Spotify, YouTube, whatever. Subscribe if you haven't already to any of those feeds, or all of them, ideally, would be fantastic. And I'll see you soon in the next one. Really appreciate you watching and listening.